If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
A new law in Utah went into effect yesterday that reduces the punishment for bigamy to essentially a traffic ticket, which, as you know, is about $120 and one furious wife.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo about how his state is handling the coronavirus pandemic. But first, a closer look.
The president is reeling politically from his deadly incompetence during the coronavirus pandemic, and now he and his sycophants on state TV are trying to distract from that by obsessively spinning wild conspiracy theories about Barack Obama. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Well, it's just another day in the rolling nightmare that is the Trump era. I wish I could just walk out of his presidency the way he walked out of that press conference on Monday when reporters dared to ask him even mildly challenging questions.
Okay, anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
I have two questions.
No, it's okay.
But we'll you pointed here. To me. I have two questions, Mr.
Next,
President.
Next, please.
But you called on me.
I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on...
Sorry, I just wanted
the young lady in the back, please.
I just wanted to let my colleague finish,
okay.
But can I ask you
ladies
a question,
and gentlemen,
please?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You know, it's a lot less dramatic when you try to storm out of your own press conference and in front of the cameras, no less. It's like trying to walk out of a meeting on Zoom and forgetting where your door is. All right, you know what? This is ridiculous. I quit. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. Had it with you. Also, could you guys log out? I need this Zoom room for my dog's birthday party in like 10 minutes. Yeah, I'm gonna wear pants. Not shoes, but pants. Also, dude, you can't just walk out. You left all your props on the table.
This major commitment is possible because of the massive mobilization of American industry, including Puritan Medical Products, U.S. Cotton, Abbott Labs, and Thermo Fisher. Some of these incredible companies produced rapidly for us. And their products are here with us this afternoon. These are all different products that were literally just developed. And if you can imagine that, and these are the best machines and the best equipment anywhere in the world.
Yo, cool. It's like QVC if the C stood for coronavirus. Where have I seen Trump pull that move before?
There's the water company. I mean, we sell water. Trump steaks. Where are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump steaks. And by the way, if you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak nominal. And it's the magazine. It's great. Anybody want to run here? Take one. And by the way, the winery, you see the wine. We make the finest wine, as good a wine as you can get anywhere in the world. And I know the press is extremely honest, so I won't offer them any. But if they want, they can take a bottle of wine home.
His timing on the free wine was 4 years too early. He could be raking it in right now. Also, wine. Should be handing out tequila shots at your press conference.
Everyone get blackout drunk, because I love if we all forgot this ever happened.
The president pulled the same move for coronavirus tests that he previously used for his crappy steaks and wine. If the pattern holds, we'll be back here in 4 years with Trump selling steaks, nose swabs, and zombie repellent. Living through this presidency means living in a constant state of being both shocked and numb at the same time. In fact, that's what they're counting on. One advisor to the White House Coronavirus Task Force told the Washington Post, "The question is, will people become anesthetized to it?" Well, I'm pretty sure Trump has been anesthetized since day one. His presidency has been like one long YouTube video of a kid coming home from the dentist.
Is this real life?
And Trump's face is always frozen in that dead-eyed grimace, like he wears a night cream made of Novocaine, which incidentally you can find on the Goop store under moon powders. Of course, the reality is Americans are not anesthetized to it. The vast majority of Americans overwhelmingly support social distancing measures and say public health is more important than prematurely reopening the economy. And in a new poll out yesterday, 54% of Americans continue to say the U.S. government is doing a poor job preventing the spread of COVID-19, and only 36% say they consider Trump a trusted source of information about the outbreak. Wow, that is shocking. I mean, how could you not trust the guy who said heat would kill the coronavirus, that cases would go down to zero, that it would go away in April, that a vaccine would come out soon, that hydroxychloroquine could be a gift from heaven, and that it could be cured by eating Lysol wipes out of a salad bowl with a fork and a knife?
And for a little flavor, throw in some croutons and some balsamic disinfectant.
And if you compare Trump's approval rating to governors and foreign leaders who have handled the outbreak competently, they look even worse. Like New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, whose handling has won more than 80% public approval, well above any leader in the group of seven wealthy democracies. Or the popularity of governors who have responded much more aggressively to the crisis on both sides of the aisle.
In Massachusetts, 84% approve of how Republican Governor Charlie Baker has handled the coronavirus outbreak, according to a new poll out this week. California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom hit 83% approval of his performance last month, nearly double his pre-coronavirus numbers. Jay Inslee in Washington also is also way up. He received a 75% positive approval rating in another poll.
83%? Do you know what Donald Trump would do for an 83% approval rating? I don't think he's that high among Trump's ages 30 to 60. And Trump is clearly aware that governors are much more popular than he is because he sees their numbers and wants credit for them. On Tuesday, he tweeted, "Remember this. Every governor who has sky-high approval on their handling of the coronavirus, and I am happy for them all, could in no way have gotten those numbers or had that success without me and the federal government's help. From ventilators to testing, we made it happen. Also, Hillary only won the popular vote because people hated me, so you're welcome." And no, you didn't make it happen. You can't tell states to get lost when they want help, then claim credit when they succeed. This isn't Don Jr.'s sixth grade science project.
Idiot, you're not supposed to pour baking soda in the volcano. You're supposed to pour it in your mouth to clean out the germs. Also, if you get an A, tell the teacher it was my idea. But anything else, anything lower, you're on your own.
When states came to you desperate for help with ventilators and testing, you and your doltergeist son-in-law told them over and over again they were on their own.
It's going to be up to the states to use that capability. The states have local points where they can go. The governor can call the mayors, and the mayors can call representatives, and everybody, everything is perfect. And that's the way it should work and always should work. The states should have been building their stockpile. We have almost 10,000 in our stockpile, and we've been building it, and we've been supplying it. But the states should be building. We're a backup. We're not an ordering clerk. We're a backup.
The notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. The states should know how many ventilators they have in their states. And by the way, some governors you speak to are senators, and they don't know what's in their state. You know, some governors I'll speak to, and they'll know to the number how many ventilators they have in their state, because that's the first thing a good manager will do.
How would you know what a good manager is supposed to do? You're less qualified for your job than that one production assistant on a movie set who's only there because their dad runs the studio. You know, the one who shows up 3 hours late in a fedora and sandals and says he was busy taking photos of graffiti down by the 405. Tyler, can you just hold the slate?
Nah, man, I'm gonna go grab a coconut water and take a nap in Mr. Hanks's trailer.
Also, the job is clearly wearing on you, bud, because this is what you looked like 4 years ago. What happened, man? Did you get bit on the neck by Stephen Miller? You used to look like an all-American preppy, and now you look like you're gonna dart out from a coral reef to snag a passing fish. If you get any paler, you're gonna start blending into the walls at the White House. Trump knows he's never going to get good marks after his horrific handling of the coronavirus pandemic, which has left over 80,000 dead and the unemployment rate at its highest since the Great Depression. Just yesterday, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warned of needless suffering and death if states reopen too soon and said that little spikes of coronavirus could turn into full-blown outbreaks. And yet, instead of taking that danger seriously and correcting his mistakes, the porridge-brained adult toddler who's in charge of keeping us all safe has spent the last few days obsessively rage-tweeting vague conspiracy theories about his predecessor. Like when he tweeted out the words Obamagate in all caps. And when he was asked to explain what the so-called Obamagate scandal he keeps tweeting about actually was, he just couldn't.
Mr. President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing, and do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. And I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
Crime. What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody.
No. We don't, and apparently neither do you. Trump's so lazy he can't even be bothered to come up with the details of his own fake scandal anymore.
Look, I came up with the name, okay? How much do you want me to do?
It's like a screenwriter who pitches a movie based on the title alone. All right, you guys ready? Called Death Train, action movie starring Vin Diesel. Oh, that's great. What's it about? It's got, like, explosions. Tons of explosions. Okay, cool. You know, and then what happens? Like, lots of, like, fat, like, super fast cars. Yeah. But, like, what's the plot? It's Vin Diesel, but it's just, you don't need any of that. Trump says Obamagate like he's playing a version of Taboo, where the only words that aren't forbidden are Obama and Gate.
So, it's like he's Obama, so it's Obamagate, and it's Obama, all the information out, it's Obamagate. Come on, you guys, it's Obamagate, it's Obamagate. It was The answer was
And now the president's allies in the GOP and right-wing media are actually calling on the Department of Justice to prosecute Obama officials and possibly even Obama himself for whatever the hell Obamagate is supposed to be.
Bill Barr has found them out, and they are developing, along with John Durham, Bill Barr is, a massive conspiracy case against a host of people in the Obama FBI and DOJ. What Obama did in that office was sedition. On that day, there's a conspiracy indictment coming down the track.
It's time we ask, what did Obama and Biden know, and when did they know it? People are constantly phoning our offices, wanting to know when all the people that did the injustice to Flynn were going to be prosecuted. And I think they ought to be prosecuted.
Oh, yeah? People are constantly phoning your offices, wanting to know when Obama will be prosecuted. And who are these people?
Hello. My name is Mr. Flag Desk Phone. I'm a foreign person. I'm from whatever state you're from. And I want you to prosecute Obama for whatever it is he did. You know what it is.
Also, I'm glad to hear Joe DiGenova is back on the airwaves. Do you remember this guy? I'm sure you don't, unless you're confusing him with the Time to Make the Donuts guy. He's a right-wing lunatic who used to be on Fox News a lot and who was on Trump's legal team for, like, a second before Trump, I'm guessing, saw his mustache and told him he looks like an extra from Boogie Nights. DiGenova doesn't have an office. He just keeps all his papers in the back of a taxi cab. If you know, want to reach him, you probably have to call a butcher shop in Secaucus and wait a few hours until he's back from the OTB. He looks like he got kicked out of Studio 54 for eating meatballs on the dance floor. I warned you once already, Joe. People can't dance when they're slipping on the sauce. They can't dance a disco, Joe. Anyway, DiGenova is unfortunately someone the president listens to, and he, along with GOP senators and other Trump allies, are now calling for the president's political opponents, including possibly even Obama himself, to be prosecuted, which is crazy because Obama wasn't even in office when any of the cases in the Russia investigation were brought. They've already blamed Obama for not stopping coronavirus 3 years before it happened. What else do they want to blame Obama for?
Obama's the one who flushed the toilet during that Supreme Court hearing.
And what the FCC has said is that when the subject matter of the call ranges to the topic, then the call is transformed.
Don't get me wrong. I don't blame him. I mean, I think it's probably all that roughage Michelle makes him eat.
There's honestly so much happening right now that it's impossible not to think the very survival of our system of government is at stake. The attorney general is shredding the rule of law to protect the president's political allies and target its enemies. The president's favorite TV channels are pushing deranged propaganda about both the origins of the coronavirus pandemic and the Russia investigation. Senate Republicans are standing in lockstep behind the president as he spreads conspiracy theories and tries to use Americans as cannon fodder to prematurely reopen the economy. And just yesterday, the president's lawyers were arguing that he is above the law in front of a Supreme Court that includes four conservative justices appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote. Our government is like the Cats movie. To make it work, we're gonna have to get rid of all the dicks. And even then, it's, you know, not gonna be great. In fact, yesterday in front of the Supreme Court, Trump's lawyers argued that banks shouldn't have to produce Trump's tax returns as required by law, and that he should be granted temporary presidential immunity. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, told the court, "The president is not to be treated as an ordinary citizen." Well, I mean, in a way, I agree that this president shouldn't be treated as an ordinary citizen, but I mean it more like how you'd say Godzilla shouldn't be treated as an ordinary lizard. And yeah, I know there are some of you out there who think, so what if he's a radioactive sea monster? He'd still make a good pet for the kids. So amid a horrific public health emergency that most voters agree he's basically mishandled, the president is looking to prosecute his political opponents and elevate himself above the law. That's because he knows the coronavirus pandemic and the cratering economy threaten his political survival. So he and his allies on state TV are casting about for anyone else to blame, and now they're obsessing, as they have for years, over Obama.
What did Obama know, and when did he know it? Also, documents revealing bombshell new information on what Barack Obama knew about deep state spying.
The Obama administration really was poison, and they bullied a lot of people into pretending it wasn't.
Barack Obama's plan to derail his successor unfolded with very little opposition along the way.
It's not about FBI misbehavior. It's about Obama.
President Obama.
Barack Obama.
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 This guy's got some nerve, Barack Obama.
Fox hosts say the name Obama like it's their safe word. Their obsession with Obama is akin to gossipy cheerleaders spreading rumors about the prom queen because they're mad she won't hang out with them. I heard Jessica told Jenna to trick Donald into hanging out with Vlad. So somebody should look into that, please. I think the GOP and Fox News would honestly rather live in an alternate universe where Obama was president, not Trump. Then they could at least lie and tell themselves they were a ragtag band of rebels instead of the marketing department for the Death Star. First of all, I think we should change the name. Yes, Lisa, I know it was Vader's idea, but I'm not afraid of Darth Vader. Look, over 80,000 Americans have died, another 33 million are out of work, and these people are still obsessed with Barack Obama. We're dealing with a public health crisis, an economic crisis, and a crisis of democracy and the rule of law. And if we somehow make it through all of that intact, what we're seeing now
should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is the governor of New York. Please welcome to the show, Governor Andrew Cuomo. Thank you for making the time for us.
Pleasure.
I'd like to start by asking you about this op-ed that you wrote in the Washington Post today, which talks about how you feel Washington is making a mistake insofar as how they're bailing out corporations without protecting workers, and that this is a mistake that happened before in the last financial crisis. Can you talk about what mistake you feel is being made and why it's a mistake that continues to be repeated by Congress in regards to bailouts?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Seth. Last financial difficulty for the country was the 2008 mortgage fraud and then its aftermath. Remember, banks too big to fail, et cetera. I was the Attorney General of New York at the time, and Washington passed a bailout package, give the corporations money. We can't let the banks fail. We have to stabilize the financial markets. And what happened is these banks, these corporations got large sums from the taxpayer, billions of dollars. They then turned around and used those funds to give themselves bonuses and golden parachutes and raise their stock price. And meanwhile, it was all paid by the American taxpayer. We went through the mortgage scams. home values went down. So the taxpayer paid twice. They paid a corporate bailout and they lost the equity in their homes. I think the same thing is going to happen here in a different version. These corporations are already saying they're going to lay off workers. They're going to use this pandemic to right size, to get lean. They won't rehire the same number of workers. They'll get a big bailout from the taxpayer. They'll come back with fewer jobs. They'll use that to boost their stock price. And then the taxpayer will have to pay the unemployment benefits, et cetera, for the unemployed laid off workers. We've seen the movie. If you've seen it before, don't do it again. And the solution is very simple. Any corporation that gets bailout dollars from Washington through any of these programs, you must rehire the same number of workers, period. If you don't, God bless you, but then you're not going to get bailed out by the taxpayer.
Are you disappointed that a Democratic Congress isn't putting in these protections with the bailout money thus far?
Well, I hope they do in this bill, right? What they will say is, well, they have to deal with the Republicans, and if the Republicans don't agree, then they won't have a bill, so they had to do this to get the bill. I understand that. I was in Washington for 8 years. I know what it's like to get a piece of legislation. I have the same situation in the state of New York. For many years, we had a Republican Senate and a Democratic Assembly, and you have to compromise. But at one point, the compromise isn't worth it, right? And if this is going to turn out to be another scandal and another boondoggle like 2008, then forget it. You know, at one point, it's just not worth it because you will betray the trust of the American people, right? They need government to work now. They want to believe in government again. They need effective, competent government. And if they pass a big Washington package and in 6 months we hear about all this waste and fraud, forget it. We'll set ourselves back.
I know you've been asked about this a lot on sort of a lighter tone here. Your brother and you have become stars of the moment we're living through. I am an older brother as well. And I just want to ask, is the interaction that we see between you and Chris on CNN, is that a true reflection of your relationship, or are you guys playing it up a little bit in regards to the busting of the chops for the cameras?
No, we're playing it down. It's tempered. it's the nice version. It's the I'm biting my tongue version, because he takes advantage of me in that situation. You know,
right.
has a certain amount of license. He can say what he wants to say. I have to be gubernatorial and respectful. So he uses it. But look, I'm the older brother, and you know as an older brother, it's our familial and biological duty to assert dominance over the younger brother, to keep them humble, keep them in their place, to assert intellectual dominance, physical dominance, athletic dominance, all of which happens to be true between me and my brother. It's not just an age thing.
Yeah.
I am superior in so many ways, and he has to remain humble, and I'm dedicated to that proposition out of love for him, Seth.
Of course. All of that comes across. A lot of people like the matter-of-fact way that you have been giving your daily press conferences. One part that people seem to appreciate is the PowerPoint slide. I can tell you personally, I'm a big fan of the slide that tells us what day it is. I find it informative, and I like that it cannot be questioned. Are you surprised, having a long career in politics, that people have finally come around to appreciating the value of PowerPoint?
Yes, I think it's a little retro. I have been mocked for many years for my PowerPoints, that it's dated, it's boring. But I always ascribe to the theory, some people process information by hearing it, some people need to see it. A PowerPoint, you get both. You get people who are visually oriented and they can watch the PowerPoint, and people who want to hear it can hear it. But I think what's worked is people want the facts. You know, this is a frightening situation. It's probably the first time government has really been relevant in a generation or two generations when you think about it. And now everything has such spin and politics to it that you get to a situation like this and they want to say, well, just tell me the facts first, right? I'm not that interested in your opinion. Give me the facts so I have a basis to evaluate your opinion. And nobody was doing that. And I first lay out the facts. When I'm going to give my opinion, I say, you know, warning opinion. But here are the facts. And I think that's essential for people to get grounded with where they are. This is about you and your life and your family. You want the facts to make your own decision. From my point of view, you know, government can't really do any of the things we're trying to do right now. Government doesn't have the power to make people stay at home. The only way it works is if people understand the information and then accept it and choose to follow it, right? So I say, here are the facts. And my opinion is, therefore, we should stay at home, close businesses, close schools, wear a mask. And they have done it. The compliance is high because they heard the facts and they accepted it. But if they didn't have the facts, they could have just told me to pound sand, you know, or whatever the equivalent is.
You don't strike me as someone who's coy with your opinions. I'm wondering, when you're actually out right now practicing social distancing, of course, do you share your opinion if you see someone who is not wearing a mask, not practicing a safe social distance?
Yeah, well, this is New York. You know, we all have an opinion and we all want to share it at different decibel levels. Yes, I feel the mask, for example, I feel strongly about masks. I think it's disrespectful for people not to wear a mask. Everybody, you see all these TV commercials now, we applaud our nurses, our doctors, our heroes. Okay, then wear a mask, right? Then don't infect anyone else. Then make their life easier, right? Well, I can do whatever I want myself. Yes, God bless you. You're an individual. This is America. But you don't have a right to infect me. You don't have a right to infect my daughter. So wear a mask. And it's not that big a deal. You can get a cool looking mask. You can get a fashionable mask. So something like that. Yes, I think it's just gratuitous and disrespectful not to wear a mask in this situation. It's also so irresponsible that, you know, it's annoying.
If you've ever had to tell someone on the street to put a mask on and you're wearing a mask, how quickly do they recognize that they're talking to the governor? Or do you think they even do?
No, I think they do, because my mask always has a large bulge in it, Seth, because I can't really get one that handles my nose. So you can tell, even with the mask, who you're talking to.
Right. Well, we'll leave it at that, that if you see someone with a large bulging mask telling you to put one on, you might be talking to the governor. Thanks so much for making the time for us. We look forward to more updates, and we're certainly cause for optimism, would you say?
Yeah, I think if we're smart, we're over the worst of it. We did what we had to do, which was change the curve, flatten the curve. We did that. We just now have to make sure we're smart enough to keep it up and we don't go backwards. And that's what this whole Dr. Fauci and don't open too soon and don't allow the warm weather to change your behavior. That's what we have to watch. But we did what we needed to do. We just have to be disciplined and stay with it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for making time for us. And we will see you soon. Governor Andrew Cuomo, everyone.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Seth.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
When you're committed to raising the standard, you're bound to ruffle some feathers. At Happy Egg, we like to say we farm differently. But in reality, we produce eggs the way people used to. By partnering with local small family farmers who raise our happy hens on 8 or more acres. Because in our opinion, farming shouldn't be complicated. It should be happy. Choose happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.